4. We'll read these verses responsively. And then we have some other scriptures to which we will turn after that. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4. And let's stand, please, for the reading of these verses. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and there they wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, turn to page 840 in your Scofield Bible. Ezekiel chapter 1. We'll be reading several verses here in unison. First of all, we'll read the first verse together. And we looked it up a while ago. We know that the word there, C-H-E-B-A-R, is pronounced Kebar. We'll get on the same page concerning that. Okay, let's read it together, the first verse. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Let's read together now verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Turn now to chapter 3 of Ezekiel, the third chapter. We'll read first verse 15. We'll read that together. Ready? Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Kebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Now verse 23 of that chapter. Ready? Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kebar, and I fell on my face. Turn now to chapter 10 of Ezekiel. We'll read together the 15th verse. Ready? And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kebar. Verse 20 together. Ready? This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. And let's pray. Father, this opportunity that we share tonight is a wonderful one. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for those who are with us tonight, who visit with us. But it's good to be among those who are here all the time, to be with those who are loyal and faithful servants of thine in this place. And we feel like a family. Thank you for our preacher. We pray that you bless concerning the preaching tonight. We have a special responsibility to hear what you've put upon the heart of our preacher. Help us to be helped, but if we are to be helped, it's on purpose. We need to listen with purpose. Bless tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject that depends on how you look at it. It depends on how you look at it. Now, we're a little later than usual, and I do not think this will be a long sermon. I was I was in Evansville, Indiana, preaching, and a little boy about halfway through my sermon looked over and said, Mama, this is a lot like a watch night service, isn't it? Now, I'm sure before I get through, some of you will think it's a lot. I remember years ago, we only had this half of the building, and the pulpit is over here and faced that way. I think this little boy was sitting next to Ida Mae Smith. I'm not sure, but one of our fine ladies. And this little boy had gotten up early and gotten on one of our buses, had ridden a long ways from Atlanta, Georgia to our service, and a long ride on a bus, and then sat in Sunday school, and then he came to church, and somehow he got by the ushers or something, 5 years old, and out, and was sitting over here, pulpit here, sitting over here. By. And after a long bus ride and a long Sunday school class and long sermon, we were baptizing. I know we baptized about 80 that morning. After the long invitation and about 40 baptisms, little boy punched the little lady beside him. I think it's Miss Smith, not one of our good ladies, and said, "Ma'am, could I ask you a question, please?" And she said, "Yes, what is it?" He said, "Is it dark outside yet?" So, but I have full intentions of making this a short sermon, though I have had full intentions in the past of doing likewise, have miserably failed. And but I do want to talk to you tonight, and the first part of the sermon, you'll have to listen very carefully as I lay the foundation and speak on it depends on how you look at it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help me to help these people whom I love more than I love anybody in the whole world. People with whom I have served for over a third of a century. Many of them been here for all those years. I pray tonight you'd encourage our hearts and bless this simple preacher as he brings a simple but profound truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen carefully to me as I lay the foundation.
Brother Stansel, this thing helped him so much, I'm going to use it. In fact, I feel like singing. It did an awful lot for his voice. And if I could use this and sing and have that trumpet playing this like this morning, I believe it'd drown me out. And the nation had been divided. Listen to me very, very carefully. The nation had been divided into the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. Both Israel and Judah had gone into apostasy, which means a falling away from God. They had gone into such apostasy that God sent prophets, and those prophets first came to plead with them to repent. If they did not repent, God had revealed that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, at that time a ruthless man, would be allowed to come up on the land and take both Judah and Israel, the divided kingdom, into captivity. That is, the wealthy people and the middle class, as the Bible says, the craftsmen, leaving just the very, very poor in the land. So the prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, at least a part of the time, and others came to warn Israel, get right with God, or judgment's going to come. Get right with God, or bondage, captivity, the Babylonian captivity, is going to come. They did not get right with God. The prophecy was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar did come like a swarm of bees upon the land. He took the people into captivity. He destroyed the beloved temple. He leveled the security of the walls. The city was simply leveled and destroyed. Now their beloved temple was torn to the ground. Their beloved city, the holy city, was destroyed. And these people were taken 500 miles or so into captivity, where they were to stay for 70 years. You see, they had not kept the Sabbath for 490 years. And God said, okay, I'll just get all those Sabbaths at one whack. God's going to get what's his. I've said often, every Christian tithes. You either give it voluntarily to the church or God will take it some other way. But you're going to give 10% of your income. You're going to let go of it one way or the other where God forces you to give it to a hospital bill or a doctor bill or funeral expenses or some other thing. You're going to tithe. Well, enough of that. They were taken in the captivity. And 500 miles was a long ways. They couldn't get on a jet plane. We can fly 500 miles now on a jet plane, a little over an hour. And so they didn't have that. They didn't have cars and freeways and trains and buses. 500 miles was a long, long journey, a long ways away from home. So they were in captivity. Now, while they're in captivity, in Psalm 137, we'll not turn to these passages, but I'll just give them to you. Psalm 137, the people of Babylon came to the Jewish people and said, "Sing for us. We understand you're a singing people. We want you to sing for us. We understand that you can play the harp, and we want you to play your harps and sing for us." And so the Jews in captivity said, "No, we can't do that. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Brother, that's where you need to sing the Lord's song. I mean, if you want to sing a song, sing it here. But go out in the jails and the hospitals and the street corners and sing it where the people are. And they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We've placed our harps on the willow trees." They were letting circumstances take away their joy and take away their song. But now, let me talk to you for a minute. There was one man named Ezekiel. Ezekiel was also in captivity. The Bible says that the Jews sat down beside the rivers in Babylon and put their harps on the willow trees and refused to sing. Morose, melancholy, depressed, defeated, sad. No testimony. But there was one fellow named Ezekiel. And we won't go to all those scriptures, but in Ezekiel 1, 1 and 3, Ezekiel 3, 15, 23, Ezekiel 10, 15 and 20, you have that river Kibar, one of the rivers the Jews sat down beside and wouldn't sing and put their harps on willow trees. Ezekiel sat down beside the same river. He sat under the same willow trees. He was in the same bondage they were, but he didn't see what they saw. Bible said he saw the heavens opened. They saw captivity. He saw the heavens opened. They saw earth's burdens. He saw heaven's promises. He saw the heavens open. He saw the hand of the Lord. He saw angelic creatures called cherubim. He saw, the Bible says, the glory of the Lord. He saw living creatures. He saw heaven's house of God. All those things he saw. Now, here's a Jew over here, and he sees captivity and says, "I can't sing." Here's another Jew over here, sitting down beside the same river, who says, "I feel like singing." Here's one Jew over here, says, "I see slavery." Jew over here says, "I see Jesus." Same captivity, same river, same willow trees, same Nebuchadnezzar, same burdens, same distance from home. Here's one Jew over here says, "I don't think I can make it." Here's another Jew over here says, "I got it made." Here's one over here that says, "I see our enemies." Here's one over here says, "Phooey, I see the angels." It depends on how you look at it. I'm talking to folks tonight, two different groups of people. You can look at the same thing, and one sees one thing, and one sees another. It all depends on how you look at it. One sees the Isle of Patmos. One sees exile when John was on the Isle of Patmos. One sees separation from friends. One sees loneliness. One sees fear. One sees absence from his loved ones. And another on the same island sees the heavens opened and sees the rapture. And sees the glory of God, and sees the dead rise, and sees the marriage of the Lamb, and sees the judgment seat of Christ, and sees the tribulation period, and sees the second coming of Christ back to the earth on a white horse, and sees the saints of God coming back with him, and sees the great white throne, the millennium, and the great white throne judgment, and sees the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I'm talking to folks tonight. When you think about Isle of Patmos, you think about exile. I'm talking to other folks. When you think of the Isle of Patmos, you think about the glorious book of Revelation. It all depends on how you look at it. Some see Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some see that thorn that Paul had in the flesh. Some see the illness. But others see the grace of God is sufficient that Paul said about that very thorn in the flesh. Some people see the thorn. Some people see the grace. Some people see the illness. Some people see the grace. Some people see the burden. Some people see the grace. It all depends on how you look at it. I'm talking to some folks tonight in this room who are not well or have loved ones who are not well. And all you see is the burden and the heartache and the sorrow, and you feel the pain. But there are other people tonight who are not well, or your loved ones are not well, and they're praising God for His grace is sufficient. It all depends on how you look at it. Some people look at the fiery furnace, and they see the fire. Some people look at that same furnace and see the Son of God in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some people look at that furnace and see pain, and some look at that furnace and see Jesus. Some look at that furnace and see suffering, and some look at that furnace and they see Jesus. I mean, the same furnace, same fire. Some see the fires lapping in the furnace, and some see the Son of God in there with them. Some people see the suffering and the pain, and some people see the presence of God who says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Some people see stones in Lystra. Some people see the stones pelting upon the brow and the body of the beloved Apostle Paul. But some people, at that same place, they see the third heaven. Some people being stoned over, by Paul stoning in Lystra, they talk about the suffering. Paul's over here walking up there seeing golden streets and gates of pearl. It all depends on how you look at it. And I'm talking to folks tonight. You can look at the same circumstance and gripe, and others of you look at the same circumstance and shout. I'm talking to some people tonight who look at one circumstance and you'll complain. I'm talking to other people in the same circumstance and say, praise God, His grace is sufficient. Some people can look at Peter in prison, and they can see Peter there in stocks and bonds. Boy, I wish I had some stocks and bonds. But some people see Peter there in stocks and bonds, and they see him a prisoner, and they see the awful, awful conditions of the prison cell, and they see the dungy, damp, dark, dingy prison. But some people see an angel coming in to let him go. It all depends on how you look at it. I know folks tonight, you come to church and some of you say, boy, I'll be glad when it gets finished. Others of you say, I wish we'd go into extra innings. It all depends on how you look at it. Some people listen to a song and don't listen to a word and don't know what it was about. Other people listen to that song and squeeze every word out of the message of the choir special. That beautiful special a while ago, the choir sang. If they'd have hollered and jumped up and down and had a real high ending, you'd have shouted. But I want you to know that message they sang a while ago was just as wonderful as that one they sang this morning. I'm saying some people look and see this, and some look and see this. It all depends on how you look at it. Some people can look at the loneliness of Bethel when Jacob was there, and they see a boy who's homesick, and they see a trickster who's tricked his brother out of his birthright, and they see a son, a boy who's sort of a schemer. But other people look at that same thing, and they see the latter going from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. And they see angels on that ladder. I don't know what you're going to do, bless God, but when I get in trouble, I'm not looking at the trouble. I'm looking at the guy that's going to get me out of trouble. When I get in the fire furnace, I'm not going to gripe about the furnace. I'm going to praise God. There's somebody in there with me. I'm saying it all depends on how you look at it. Some people look at the future of famine and hunger and fret. A guy asked me a question out in Washington State the other day, in Pasco, Washington. Question and answer time. He said, you have any food stored away for the future? You do. But said, with all the predicted famine that's going to come, and the awful depression that's going to come, and the financial collapse that's going to come, man, most of us, that financial collapse has done come. And he said, what do you got stored away? I said, what do I got stored away? Matthew 6:33 is a pretty good thing to store away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In the Greek, that means get your bus route and pack it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these. Hey, that's a pretty good thing to have stored away. Or how about Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How about that one for something to you? But some people, they look at the future and say, what's going to happen? And some people look at the future and say, praise God, I know what's going to happen. Some people look at this future and say, I'm going to starve to death. And some people look at that same future and say, boy, what an opportunity for God to reveal himself in the future. It all depends on how you look at it. Some people look at the enemy armies, at the battle when Elisha and his servant were talking. And Elisha looked and saw, his servant looked and saw the enemy armies. And he came in and said, Master, what are you going to do? And Elisha, he was eating a Big Mac. And drinking a Wendy's milkshake. And he said, what's the big deal? And his servant said, Master, said, the armies of the enemy, they're here. Listen to me over here. Hey, listen, I'm preaching to you. Talk later, I'm preaching to you now. Good night, this is church. It's not romancing time. If you're going to romance, get out in the park somewhere. You're not a Hiles Anderson student. But I'm saying, some people can look at one side, same thing. It all depends on how you look at it. Some people can look at the armies of the enemy, like Elisha's servant did. Elisha sits there, he's sitting there in the pulpit and had his chair feet up like that. Oh, said the servant. He said, the enemy army. And God said, don't worry about it. The servant saw the enemy army, and Elisha saw the armies of the Lord in camp round about. Brother, let me tell you something. Those armies are still up there. And God can still deliver his own. And God can still heal the sick. And God can still perform miracles. And God can still make the sun stand still. And God can still feed the 5,000 if you wanted to. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't look at the tragedy. Look at God's opportunity. All depends on how you look at it. Some people look at prophecy and see Armageddon. Some of us look at prophecy and see Jesus coming back again. Some look at prophecy and say, do you think this is the tribulation time? Some look at prophecy and say, I'm interested in the rapture time. Some look at prophecy and see the Antichrist. And some look at prophecy and see the Christ. Some look at prophecy and see the great white throne judgment. Some look and see the millennial age when Jesus reigns on earth for 1,000 years. All depends on how you look at it. I'm 68 years old, brother. I'm not going to look at it in the negative side. People say, preacher, are you afraid about the future? No, sir. I know him who holds the future. Oh, Brother Hiles, you must be getting old. I don't know what old is. I can preach as hard as you can right now. There's not a rascal on this platform can get more excited than I can. There's not a preacher, I don't care if he's 13 or 30 or 35 or 40 or 45. I don't care who he is. He can't get more. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I look at it right. That's why. All depends on how you look at it. Some look at the lion's den and see the lions, and some see deliverance from God Almighty. Some look at dirty pews and see filth and dirt, and some look at dirty words on those pews. Some look at pews here, and by the way, none of you, any of you First Baptist drive-in kids, that ride on these pews, God pity your wicked soul. I'd go see bus kids too. But some people look at pews and see a hole dug in there with a knife. Other people look at the same pew and see a bus kid there that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some look at that pew and they see filth and dirt. And some look at that same pew and see a father who left that child. And a mother doesn't give a flip about that child. And the child's had no training. It all depends on how you look at it. Some look at a cup half empty and say it half empty. And some say it's half full. Some look at burdens and they see the burdens. Some look at burdens and they see the burden bearer. Some look at man's calamity And some look at the same thing and see God's opportunity. Some look at storms and see clouds, and some look at storms and see rainbows. Some look at a Bethlehem, a barn, and see a Bethlehem barn. And some look at that same barn in Bethlehem, and they see the birth of a Savior. Some look at the same thing, and they see a criminal dying on a cross. Others look at the same cross and say, praise God, He paid the price for my sin. Some look at old age, and some look at being nearer heaven. That's one reason why I don't worry about the coming famine. Because I am to go for it comes. I'll be eating God's caviar. I'll be eating the manna from heaven that fell every morning. I'll be eating angels' food. Gee, some of you young whippersnappers down here going through the famine. Boy, I hope you enjoy it. Tell you something, brother. It all depends on how you look at it. Rise up, O people of God. Heaven's your home. Bible's your book. God's your Father. Jesus your Savior. Rapture your hope. I'm saying there's no reason to look at it through negative stained glasses and dark glasses. Look at it and see the glory of God. These poor Egyptians, Israelites, sitting there in Babylon. Well, we can't sing. But sing us a song. We can't sing. We're in a strange land. We can only sing at church. We can only sing when everything's going well. We can only sing while we're on top side. We can only sing while we have jobs. We can only sing while the freezer's full of steak. We can only sing while the cupboards are full of food. We can only sing while we're in good health. We can only sing while we can go down to Walmart and buy a bunch of new clothes. We can only sing if we're on top side. We can only sing if we have a nice car. Praise God. Sing anyhow. Don't sing because of where you are. Sing because of who you are. Don't sing because of what you got. Sing because of whom you have. All depends on how you look at it. Some people look at the same thing, see a coffin. Some people look at that same coffin and see a hope chest. Some look at that coffin, Lord, in the grave. Praise God, and my mother's coffin was placed in her crypt. They were singing, I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life. Victory in Jesus. Some look at a coffin and see death, and some look at a coffin and see resurrection. All depends on how you look at it. Some people look at captivity and see, or Babylon, and see captivity. Others look at Babylon and see coming opportunity and deliverance. Some look at poverty and see negative, and some look at the same poverty and see Matthew 6:33. Some look at reversal and see tragedy. Others look at reversal and see a chance to get closer to God. Some people look at the same thing and see a troubled heart. Others look at that same thing and see, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Some look at loneliness and see despair. Others look at loneliness and see, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Some look at failure and despair. Some look at failure and say, what an opportunity. I got a chance to get back up again. All depends on how you look at it. Some look at battles and see war. Some look at battles and see victory. Some look at jail, Bunyan, John Bunyan in jail, and they see the prison. And some look at that same jail and see Pilgrim's Progress. Some look at fallen Christians and see tragedy, and others look at fallen Christians and see a chance to help lift them up and bring them back to usefulness to God. Stephen, you're not paying attention. You're being stoned, and you're smiling. Now pay attention to me, Stephen. You've got to understand what's going on. You hear me? Stones are hitting you on the head, buddy. You're being stoned. Stephen says, I don't know them or not. I'm busy looking. I see the glory of God. And Jesus standing
at the right hand of God. I said some folks saw the pelting of stones, and some people saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on his right hand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you don't realize where you are. You understand it. You're smiling there in the fiery furnace. You don't understand where you are. No, we don't understand where we are, but we understand who's in here with us. John, how does it feel to be alone on Patmos? Alone? Alone, nothing. As soon as I got here, I saw Jesus. I'll describe him for you. And in the first chapter of Revelation, he describes him. Look, folks, no child of God is ever alone. Some people look at Patmos and see loneliness. And some people look at Patmos and see Jesus. Ezekiel, how hard is it there in Babylon? Must be pretty tough. I don't know. I haven't had time to notice. How's it feel to be under Nebuchadnezzar? I'm not under Nebuchadnezzar. I'm under cherubim and angelic creatures in the glory of God. Ezekiel, how does it feel to be captive? He said, captive nothing. I'm looking at freedom. Paul, are you in pain down there? Are you in pain down there? Paul says, hey, I'm up here. I'm not down there. I'm up here. Paul, you in pain down there? I'm not down there. I'm up here. I'm up on the third floor. I've done past floor number one and floor number two and floor number three, and I'm not down here. Oh, you say, Paul, how do you feel under the circumstances? I'm not under the circumstances. I'm over the circumstances. All depends on how you look at it. I'm tired of this Christianity that endures till I can make it to heaven. Praise God, I'm enjoying the journey. But you say, Brother Hiles, you've got enemies. That gives me a chance to see if I can make it. Brother Hiles, folks criticize you. I don't listen to it. I'm busy reading the Bible. I don't live down there and people say all over America, how goes the battle? I don't know how the stupid battle goes. I'm not on a battlefield. I'm up there looking down. I'm not interested in all that stuff, brother. I'm interested in the presence of God and the glory of God and the victory of God and living a life that's victorious for Jesus Christ. Paul! Listen to me, Paul! Paul, listen to me! Paul! Hey, Paul! Quit that singing and listen to me. You're in jail. Depends on how you look at it. Paul said, I'm just as saved in jail as I am out of jail. Oh, I love that story. Paul, you're in jail, man. In Philippi. Away from home. You and Silas down there. And there you're singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Save wretch like me. You crazy, man. Paul said, well, I just think, Lord, I said, how about an earthquake? God sends an earthquake. I love this story. The prisoner gets scared. And he says, what must I do to be saved? He wasn't asking how he could go to heaven. He is asking Paul how to save his stupid neck from the earthquake. Paul didn't give him the answer he wanted, but he gave him the answer he needed. Hey, what must I do to be saved? He said, the real saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And an earthquake came and prisoners escaped. And the people said, Paul, the big shots, the mayor, city councilman, governor, Clinton, all of them, they said, we'll let you go, Paul. We'll let you go. Paul said, no, you won't, I'll stay. Paul, you caused no trouble, man. You caused an earthquake here. You go on now. Go on. You're free. He said, don't want to be free. They said, man, look, we're going to let you out of jail. Paul said, I think I'll stay here. He said, man, you caused enough trouble since you've been here. We don't want you around here. We can't afford to repair this thing every time an earthquake comes. Besides that, the jailer got religion. He's witnessing all over the place. Whole family got saved. Paul said, you put me in here publicly, and you're going to take me out publicly. When you put me in here, you had a parade. This is all in the Greek. You had a parade, blowing of the horns, Major Etch strutting. Don't whistle there. And Paul said, when you take me out, you're taking me out the same way. I didn't sneak in here, and I ain't sneaking out of here. Boy, I love to think about that little Baptist preacher having a parade as he gets out of jail. All depends on how you look at it. Isaiah, how do you take it? It's easy to take it. You see what I see. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I preached the other morning on the four temperaments. Choleric and phlegmatic and melancholic and sanguine. Mr. LaHaye, God bless his heart. Some of us are born phlegmatic. Some of us are born melancholic. So what's the other one? Choleric. Yeah. Some of us are born choleric, but some are born sanguine. But everybody gets born again sanguine. Depends on how you look at it. I'm talking to people right now who are looking at life wondering how you're going to make it. I'm talking to other people looking at the same thing, knowing you're going to make it, and wondering what God's going to do to help you make it. It all depends on how you look at it. Man alive, look up! Look up! Look up and not down! Look up and see the glory of God! Look down and see the flood! Look up and see the rainbow. Look down and see the dead animals on the water. Look up and see the presence of God. Look down and see the earth being destroyed. Look up! Your redemption draweth nigh. Quit looking down and look up! It all depends on how you look at it. Our Heavenly Father.